to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, friendos. It is hour two of In This League right here on the grid, sports grid. I screwed it up.
On the what? On the where?
Bog, I don't know why, for some reason. You ever have that where you go in and you're like, you're about to say something, and then immediately your brain's like, you sure that's right? And I'm just like, I was like, on yes. the grid? Get on the grid.
I screwed up doing the big three with Jonas Nader and Dan Bespris. I think the first show of this year, I screwed up and gave them the wrong website. Like I said, oh, Dan Bespris from Roto World and Jonas Nader from Hoopball. And it's reversed. And every time I introduce them now, I kind of stutter over it.
It's just because it's in your head now.
It's in my head. Yeah. It's in my head like, oh, hey, is in my head.
I mean, so. I hate my brain sometimes because we talk so much, and the amount of times I'll, you know, like you have to save a space. Like if you're trying to do like introductions and trying to work through something, you want to save a space in your brain for like the markers of like, here's what we're going to talk about. Here's what we're actually going to do. You do those things. But like, I hate when I am in mid sentence and my brain does that. And it's just like, you sure you're saying that right? And I'm like, God, it was grid, sports, the... And I just don't know what I'm doing, and that's what happened. And it happens enough. And unfortunately, it's all chronicalized, and it is all recorded, and it is all for you guys to hear every little screw-up, unless we edit it out, and then you'd never know. We used to edit out a lot more than we do nowadays.
Yeah. Who has time for all that now?
Yeah, exactly. So, who has time for 157 pounds of marijuana?
You know what's funny is, spoiler alert, I'm going to ask Bubba about this in the next hour. And my biggest question here is, did they really smoke 3 pounds of pot on their way to the border? Because this had to have started out at 160 pounds, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like you're saying no way they just randomly had 157 pounds.
I mean,
yeah, into odd numbers.
Yeah, yeah, 157. So they smoked 3 pounds on their way up. How far into Mexico did they go to get this?
Man, Greg Robinson, Browns offensive lineman, he was arrested and he is now facing charges of possessing with intent to sell 157 pounds. He had, and I mean, this is classy stuff. Several large duffel bags in a rear cargo area, and this is in El Paso, Texas. I'm looking at the Department of Justice's release form on it, and it says the 27-year-old Gregory Keith Robinson and 26-year-old Jaquan Bray for conspiring to possess with intent to distribute marijuana. Man. 157 pounds. Agents asked the driver to park the vehicle in a secondary inspection area. The subsequent inspection of the vehicle by agents revealed the presence of 157 pounds. A complaint affidavit further states that Robinson rented the vehicle in LA on Sunday, had arranged for a third individual in the vehicle, an Uber driver he had met in 2018, to drive him and Bray to Louisiana. When the trio reached El Paso, Robinson instructed Bray to begin driving. According to the complaint, when they approached secondary inspection at the Sierra Blanca checkpoint, Robinson asked the third individual to claim the marijuana, and that Robinson said he would pay the third individual to do so. Oh, boy. The third individual refused and told Robinson he or she would have to have driven him and he or she known there were drugs in the vehicle. Upon conviction, Bogman, the defendants face up to 20 years in federal prison.
Yeah, and they're not going to get 20 years. I mean, Nate Newton got caught with 200 and something, and I think he did 30 months. And it's all depending on, you know, criminal history and all that stuff. I don't know what Greg Robinson has done in his past, if this is the first time or whatever, but this is not good. And it's just so stupid, too. Like, he had to have been being blackmailed or something. I mean, you're a millionaire athlete.
No,
do you really
have
to? Do you really have to act like you're a drug kingpin here and try to smuggle a bunch of weed across the border? It's stupid.
Okay, let me ask you something. Do younger people revere things like Scarface?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. They do. Yeah.
Have you ever had money?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, if you've ever had money, this thing happens where when you have it, you realize you don't ever want to not have it, and you want more of it. And greedy people, really greedy people, will go at any cost. And this is, we've seen this time and time again, and here's why. Maybe whether it's something they grew up with or it's bad influences or, you know, like I said, it could just be a part of their lives. These guys now have millions of dollars. I mean, what you can get, that stuff they probably get at cost. The investment is probably like 100 times over. It is completely illegal and will ruin your life and ruin everything. It has now ruined Greg Robinson's life, but he took the risk. He went out and took the risk. He's just like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, all of this. I wouldn't know what to do with 7 pounds of marijuana, let alone 157.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you're in California. Go into a shop and buy all that you could want or need. It's just so
dumb. You know what you should do? Like, how about with that 100, whatever that, I couldn't even tell you what 157 pounds of marijuana would be. It's got to be a couple million dollar investment, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about this? Take that couple million dollars and why don't you invest it in a dispensary? Why don't you get in the dispensary market? You know, Mike Tyson saved his financial life and career by opening up a dispensary. Now, he's different because he can brand himself and, you know, he could go on Joe Rogan like he did and people will flaunt over it, but he lost everything. He lost all the money and he invested back into a dispensary. Take that money. If weed is your life and stuff like that, don't try to curtail around. Your ass got caught. You took duffel bags. You took duffel bags with an Uber driver and that was the way you were going to do it. You know what? What am I even saying? Anyone that's this stupid, there's no way they took one single thought of like, hey, maybe I'll just get a dispensary and I'll try to make money that way. A little bit over time instead of all at once.
There was no preparation. Like, at least try to smuggle it across the border. Like, don't just say, hey, there's a bunch of weed in here and Uber driver, you need to take responsibility for it and I'll pay you. No, I don't think so.
All I
Why
keep
would
thinking
he do
about,
that?
I see, all I see is John Singleton, former Astros, just like that. You know, that, what was that rapper who's licking his lips? He's like, standing in the window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I was about to say Big Bird. What's his name? Birdman?
And Bird, maybe, I have no idea.
Hey, Big Bird. Yeah, it's Birdman.
Don't ask me.
That's just John Singleton. He's like, that's a good idea. Whatever it is. Greg Robinson's the stupidest person alive. So
it's just so dumb. And they had to have smoked 3 pounds of it on their way up.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know what would have been great, though? This would have been a much better story if this was like, you know, LSD or something. And then it became a scene in Super Troopers where just the other guy's just licking the window. He's like, the snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Maybe get some edibles. Have a couple garbage bags full of candy. Just be
that would be harder to tell also because it just looks like candy. Yeah. It doesn't look like duffel bags filled with pot.
I'm like Marshawn Lynch. I like Skittles.
We're here to taste the rainbow, bitch. Let's go. There's also, as far as the NFL goes, a new CBA talks where they would add a 17th game and an extra team to the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that?
The 17th game is going to ruin the NFL because there's something I saw that's attached to it that they would cap players at only making $250,000 in that game. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous to us. And Greg Robinson would, you know, he'd give it all up for that type of money. But $250,000, the reason why that's important is that means any player making over $4 million would actually be losing game check money. So that's, you know, if you make $2 million, you're not going to make $250,000. But if you make $10 million, let's say your game check should be like, you know, $900,000. That 17th game, they would cap it at $250,000.
I don't understand that at all. Like, why would they think that was going to fly?
I have no idea why they would. It's ridiculous. I saw Brad Ziegler tweeting about that and be like, this would be a game changer. I think every single player would say, get that the hell out of here. Why would you have any cap if you're going to make us play another game? And I think the NFL's almost doing like that whole I mean, it's making me laugh. It's almost like a 9-to-5 job where they're like, oh, we have a new duty we want you to do. And it's like, no, wait. You can't just because I'm here for these hours doesn't mean you're going to throw this in. The NFL is almost being like, well, since you're here, let's just play another one, but we're going to cap the finances to it. No way. There's no way the Players Association would agree to that.
Yeah, no, they're still kind of far apart. And it's getting dicey, too, because a lot of people said that the owners kind of wanted this stuff to be done before the combine and signed and done and locked away. Otherwise, we could be looking at, a lockout or something coming up soon. So I don't like the sound of that. But a lot of this stuff, you know, the expanded rosters, I like that idea. The 17th game, I don't particularly like. I'm not sure if it would come with an extra bye week or not.
I assume it would. I mean, you
would think that it would, right? And then the extra playoff team, I kind of actually like that because it gives gives one team a bye in each conference. So it kind of rewards that number one team a little bit, especially now that, it probably won't be the Patriots every year.
Well, I thought you were talking.
It might be the Chiefs every year.
I thought it was going to be like a play-in game. Are they going to have like a play-in game?
No, they would have. So seven teams would make it. So there would be three games per conference in the first weekend.
Oh, so only the number one team would get a bye.
Yeah, only the number one seed gets a bye. Now, I kind of like that idea, but I don't know about adding playoff teams because, you know, you do it once and then, you want to do it again to get more teams in there to sell more shirts and all that crap. So,
I mean, it makes
don't want to wind up like the NBA with half the league making the playoffs. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not quite like that. I'm actually not that opposed to that. I thought it was a little bit different. That's fine. I just don't like the 17th game. I think the players would revolt around it. And, Bogman, you don't want to cap their money because then they might be out trying to, distribute 157 pounds or, as you say, probably 160. Can you imagine what that car would have looked like if they were like, smoke it.
Definitely look like the thing from Cheech and Chong, 100%.
Then no wonder they got caught. Be like, sir, that car is smoking. All right, we got to go to break. We'll be right back. More in this league.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Chris Welch
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial Sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way.
Stop touching things.
In this league, we're back. Welcome.
Welcome back.
It is Bogman. It is Welsh on the Twitters. Bogman Sports is at the Welsh and on patreon.com/ITL Army. We support your boys. Come get stuff. Come get prepped for the fantasy baseball season and come get some laughs. We got the comedy shows. It's so much fun, as you would say. Spring training. We had some ish games on Friday. The Tigers were, who the hell were the Tigers playing? They're playing the Fire. I don't even remember who that was. I think it's college baseball teams or something. Red Sox are playing the Huskies. And then you have all the, and yeah, because the Twins are playing Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. But you have one real game with the Royals and Rangers. So spring training here today, though, Saturdays as we were doing the show, this is the full kit and caboodle. It's all the teams back in it. Maybe not the best players, which is why I'm still so happy. Like our tick, because we got tickets on Tuesday, we've talked about forever, but we kind of like lined it up where we didn't have the first game or two. You know, we're going at like the third game and we've got Dodgers Diamondback. So it's just a perfect time as long as the vets do some traveling. I feel like early on is when they do it that we might get some Mookie in LA, which would be exciting.
I'm a little bummed that the Astros aren't out here, so we can't be like the guy that went out to their batting practice with the trash can. Did you see that?
Oh, it's amazing. The guy was just banging. You know, also what kind of got ruined is the final two games of spring training. For whatever reason, because the Indians play out here, the Indians are playing the Astros the final 2 days in March before the season starts. And that looked like it could be so great, but all the damn pitchers are hurt. So we're not going to have like a Clevinger throwing at anybody. But I will say that's maybe the biggest thing to start watching out for. You think we're going to have any Astros be thrown at in spring training here?
Yeah, I do. I think that's definitely going to happen. I think that when Bregman goes up against somebody that doesn't like him, he's probably going to get thrown at. Same deal. I mean, Correa just couldn't have been more dumb with the stuff that he said.
I'm
worried about Correa for real. Like, outside of our nonsense arguments and stuff like that, like, that dude's going to get drilled in the head. He's just stupid.
I'm super intrigued at who's going to be the guy, because I think Altuve rubs people the wrong way with, like, you know, costing Judge the MVP and people, and he was a little bit more of the vetty guy. Like, I think people are really pissed off about him. Bregman isn't super likable in the first place, so I think people already kind of, but like Correa just dug in and I mean, getting in literal fights with like Bellinger. I do wonder, I'm not in disagreement with you. I kind of think Correa could end up taking the brunt of a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean,
but it should be Bregman.
Well, it probably should be Bregman, but Correa can't shut his damn mouth.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true. That's very,
like,
very
just
true.
Shut your mouth and you won't have
show your mouth.
Shut your mouth. You're just coming across as stupid.
Yeah, that he is. But it'll be fun to watch. We'll be talking about all of it on the podcast right here on the radio. So make sure you're tuned in. We have got, this is an article from MLB.com. It says these position battles are going to turn heads this spring. So this is always a fun thing to do, and I believe it has a position battle for every single team. So we've got a couple more segments here, Boggs. I think we might be able to plow through these. Want to do it?
Yeah, let's go.
Blue Jays. How the Blue Jays structure their outfield. Currently, they've got Lourdes Gurriel, Randall Grichuk, and Teoscar Hernandez, but they say their positioning and the depth of the outfielders will get back to them, which is up in the air. Deciding on the regular center fielder is their issue with Hernandez versus Grichuk. And then they say beyond that, they've got Alford, Fisher, McCain. Okay, this one's blah. Essentially, they got the starters, but they're saying the center field position between Grichuk and Hernandez. I'm still team Grichuk over Hernandez.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be everyday players anyway. Like, I'm looking at roster resource. They got Hernandez at DH and Grichuk at center field. So maybe, you know, if somebody has a nagging injury or someone's not playing defense very well, they'll switch them out. But I think this one's a little lame.
Well, yeah, it is a little lame, but they're saying one of the points of this is Anthony Alford and Derek Fisher are both out of options. So that's why. Okay. I think they're kind of putting, like, if Oscar were to go into the DH spot, you know, what are they going to do with one of those guys? But that one's lame, so let's move on. Orioles, who will round out the rotation? Okay, I like this one. They're going into camp with John Means, Alex Cobb, and then, as they say, a bunch of question marks. Asher Wojnarowski returns, and they've got Cole Stewart. They said to win the mid-rotation job at a camp. The fifth spot is completely open, though. Keegan Aiken, Rule 5 pick Brandon Bailey and Michael Rucker, and then returning David Hess. What a garbage pile set of players that they're picking from. Brandon Bailey was one of the top picks in the Rule 5. I'd imagine he is probably at the top of the list because they can option Keegan Aiken, and they'd have to return Bailey if he doesn't stay on the roster. So I'm going to say Brandon Bailey on that one.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they also have, Roster Resource has Wade LeBlanc in there. So you got to throw his name in there as well. So it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
So
let's see. The Rays one is kind of dumb. I'm going to move past that because it's just talking about the final roster spot. Here we go. This is a good one. Red Sox. Who will join Moreland at first base? It says Moreland is back in the fold after he re-signed, but there are two 24-year-old sluggers who are trying to cut into Moreland's playing time, Michael Chavis and Bobby Dalbec. Chavis provided he was capable in his playing time. He struggled, though, for a bit. Dalbec had 32 homers in the minors in 18 and 17, and he was in Double-A, so there's a chance that the Red Sox will opt to give Dalbec more seasoning at Triple-A. But they're really trying to press it. Bobby Dalbec could push some of this time. So here's why this is interesting, Boggs, and why this could be a battle. Because the team might legitimately like Jose Peraza. And if they play Peraza at second base, Michael Chavis does not have a home except for first base. So this is kind of a Moreland versus Chavis. And I don't think Bobby Dalbec really comes into play here. So I think this is Chavis versus Moreland. So what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll split time, and then Peraza will play at second on occasion, and or, you know, Lynn will play at second on occasion, and that's probably what the idea is. I think before signing Moreland, the plan was to play Peraza every day at second and then have Javis just play first. So I think we have it set, but Dahlbeck could get in there with a huge spring.
So maybe we'll in the middle of the year. Yeah, I'm not sure about the spring, but maybe in the middle of the year. Now the next two, as we're staying in the AL, the Yankees and Indian one, I think, when was this article posted? I mean, this is like the
beginning
week
of
ago.
The month.
Yeah, yeah, it's beginning of the month, because these two don't really work for me. Because the Yankees, it says who's gonna fill in for Paxton? Well, guess what? They also are gonna probably have to fill in for Severino. So this is, you know, before it was, I think it was kind of Jordan Montgomery versus Loaisica. Now I think both of those guys are going to play. And then the Indians one is asking kind of the same thing. It says who gets the final two roster spots. But guess what? They're propping up Santana, Clevinger, and Bieber. So,
yeah.
And then they're saying there's Zach Plesac and Aaron Civale are out there for the final two spots. Those guys, I think, are locked. So really, if anything, maybe Logan Allen comes in. But here's an interesting one with the Royals. Who's on first? Says the Royals appear to be set at every position except first base, where there is a lone position battle between Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan McBroom. New skipper Mike Matheny raved about O'Hearn's potential, but the job hasn't been won. Now, here is one little note I can throw in two bucks. I was at Royals camp like last weekend, something like that. And I was with Ryan O'Hearn and this, as sometimes old women do, they like really old ones in the camp. They don't have a discretion.
Careful. Well, I'm just saying,
old people sometimes might not have a discretion for some of these players. And this lady goes, "Who are you?"
Oh my God.
And Ryan O'Hearn,
what a sweetheart.
And Ryan O'Hearn goes, "Oh, I'm the starting first baseman." So from O'Hearn, he was kind of propping that up. He also was absolutely chugging balls out of the field during BP. And he looks good. And he's even referring to himself.
What about Prado? Nick Prado. How far away is he?
So far. He had such a bad year last year. Okay. I mean, historically bad last year. I love Nick Prado more than anything. I think he's kind of like a technically sound first baseman. He's a big dude. He has an absolutely gorgeous swing, big power. He even can steal bases, and defensively is gold glove caliber. He was so bad last year. He hit like
He hit like
180 or 190. And
is he going to be playing in AA this year? Is that what the plan is? Or is he going to have to repeat?
I think he might have to repeat A ball, like high A, before he goes to AA. Yeah, because I talked to Brewer Hicklin in the offseason, who's with the Royals, and Brewer was talking about just how absolutely tough, I think it's Lexington that he was talking about, was. And he's like, it was so bad. And I had mentioned like Sully Matias, MJ Melendez, and Prado, who are some of their top prospects. All those dudes hit like sub 210, and they were and they're all really talented players. So Prado is probably not an option for two more years unless he just completely turns it around this year. So I think Ryan O'Hearn runs away with this. I don't think this is much of one. But how about this one? Tigers, who's on the hot corner? They say Jaime Candelario joined the team. But they also got Dowell Lugo, who's a former Diamondbacks guy. 2.5 years later, they're both still vying for that position. So do you have a stance on Lugo versus Calinario?
Yeah, I would think I'd rather have Candelario at this point, just because he has the experience at the position and big league experience, too. So I would assume that he would be the guy.
Also a switch hitter.
Also a switch hitter, right? But they also brought in Jordy Mercer as well. I think he could easily play at third a little bit. So I think that he's a possibility as well. I don't like that situation at all.
I mean, it's
so
just not
we've seen. Remember, Candelario a couple of years ago was a nice kind of a sneaky late pick that didn't obviously pan out for anybody. But if he could get that going again, I wouldn't be too shocked.
When we come back, we will talk about some AL East ones. Skip a few over these. Twins, White Sox. We've already kind of talked about some of this stuff. But there's some Angels bullpen talk. Fifth starter in Houston. Who's the second baseman going to be in Oakland? And then we'll be moving to the NL in those battles. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right here on Sports Grid.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
And tons of podcasts available for you. Just search In This League on your podcast app. Whether it's baseball, you can get 5 episodes this coming week of the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, starting with corner infield ranks, middle, we're going to go outfield, starting pitchers, and a surprise episode on Friday with some fun little stuff involved as we talk about catchers and relievers. You're a football guy, guess what? On the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, we got the War Room back up. That is Bogman's take on the NFL draft, fantasy perspective and real life stuff. So you can catch that there. We got the basketball. I've got Prospect One. Tons of good stuff. So just look up In This League. You'll find all of our podcasts as we continue the hustle. And we continue talking about position battles. We're talking about spring training position battles. A couple more in the AL. This is one. I wonder if this is that much of a question, Boggs. The Angels. And it says, how does the bullpen shape up? It says they've got some younger pitchers. They picked up Matt Andreese from the Diamondbacks. Felix Pena is out there. They've got some younger pitchers in Patrick Sandoval, Jose Suarez. But Hansel Robles is currently locked in as a closer while they have Cam Bedrosian, Kenny Middleton, and a few other guys sitting in the wings. Do you think there's any type of a battle between Hansel Robles and anybody else? Do you think anybody else is vying for that spot?
No, I mean, I think they tried Buttrey last year and it didn't work, and Robles really worked for them. So I think it's his job, and he would have to not only I think he even has a job if he struggles in spring training. He'd have to struggle into the regular season for him to lose that job. But I don't think that he has a Roldis Chapman-like grip on it at all. I think that if he screws up, there's guys that they could easily replace him with, like you mentioned Bedrosian and Middleton coming back off of Tommy John finally. I think that he could be an option too. So, but I would draft Robles with a fair amount of confidence.
The fifth job in Houston, not a big deal. Josh James looks like he has the inside track, probably gets the first crack at it. But this one, this is a true battle. Some of these have been all right as we've gone through. This is an absolutely true, true spring training battle. Is the Oakland A's second base gig. The article starts off talking about, you know, how Jerickson Profar has left. But currently, there is no clear front runner for this guy. There are 4 players that have a legitimate shot at winning this. You've got Franklin Barreto, who feels like he's been with the team since 2001. He hasn't, but it feels like it. Jorge Mateo, who had a really good year last year, former Yankees prospect, a lot of speed, some power there. Sheldon Noisy, former Nationals prospect, kind of a bigger dude. He has crazy power. There's like I remember standing next to him during BP and watching him do BP in the AFL, and he had one of those sounds where you go, Jesus. But, you know, versatility is probably maybe the least physically versatile than the rest of them. And then they got good old Tony Kemp. You know, Tony Kemp, who can fly around the bases, get on base. But Barreto and Mateo both are out of major league options. So the team is going to have to really, really come to a decision that they're firm with, because Noisy, they could just send and cast off. Kemp maybe is seen as, you know, like a secondary
super
piece.
Utility.
But
yeah,
if they're off of Barreto or Mateo, they're going to lose them. They're going to have to put in them through waivers. So there's a possibility maybe they both split it so they don't have to get them off the roster. But, I mean, where would you go with this? Because this is an important, you know, A's second baseman could actually have some, real production.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that I want to win it, obviously, is Mateo because he has speed, and that's what we're looking for in some of those late rounds. And, you know, people who are drafting him now are trying to take a flyer on him to get a little bit of speed. So I would love to see Mateo win that job. I just I think that each of these guys has about a 25% chance to win it. So I don't really expect Mateo to win the job. I expect him and Barreto to make the roster and, you know, be playing in big league games. But
Barreto's played some outfield and Mateo has played some shortstop. So, I mean, they both have some versatility.
Right. So I just expect them to probably split the job this year. And that's annoying. And it's not a great answer, but it's the answer that is the most likely since they both are out of options.
I'll tell you this. I don't think there's a way Mateo doesn't end up on the team because I don't think they'd give up on him. I do think there's a possibility they give up on Barreto. I do think that is a true possibility. Like, I think they could dump Barreto, keep Tony Kemp if they like his versatility. And by the way, they also don't have a bunch of they don't have a bunch of lefty bats, so that's something to consider. Barreto's also a righty.
No offense to Barreto, but I kind of hope he gets cut and you know, go sign somewhere else. And that way we know Mateo is going to get the majority of the reps at second.
Yeah.
And he's draftable at that point.
Yeah, so I kind of think that's where it's going to go. Mariners, they've got some youth battles in the outfield. Haniger's going to be out for a little bit. They've got Jake Fraley, who looks like he is locked in. They've got Kyle Lewis, who he looks like he could be locked in, and Malik Smith, so that could end it. But they do have Braden Smith. They acquired Jose Siri, and they've got some prospects.
And they also invited Carlos Gonzalez to camp.
I forgot. He's there. He was actually just on Friday. He was hitting against one of the pitching prospects. Maybe it was like Logan Gilbert or something like that. So they could go with veteran help. I mean, who's on the outs? Is it? I'm not going to include Kelnick or Julio Rodriguez or really Braden Bishop, but does Kyle Lewis or Fraley go by the wayside for Carlos Gonzalez?
I don't think so. Carlos Gonzalez had a terrible year last year. I don't think he's going to make the team. He's still trying. I mean, but you're right. Like, this is why it's a battle, is because you have your 30 days and probably 15 to 20 games to make a big impression. So you really got to buckle down. And if one of these guys just hits, you know, sub 200 in spring training, you're not going to make the team regardless of what your spot is.
Yeah.
So I think I would bet on Fraley.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is it's presumably a battle, but I just don't really think it is. I think Fraley and Lewis, I was over at Mariners camp one of the days. Those guys are kind of attached at the hip. I think those guys are both locked into their starting jobs. Kyle Lewis looks as best as I've seen him in a while, and I've seen him over the last couple of years. And when he struggled with his injuries and his body has kind of transformed a little bit, like he looks leaner than he's ever done before, more muscular. You know, like the muscle has just kind of like set where he's not saying he's ever chunky or anything like that, but like he just looks more defined. So he looks
wrong
like he's
with
in
being chunky.
I'm just
Welsh.
Saying he looks like he's in fantastic shape. Malik is locked in. The only thing that takes Malik Smith off of being in the outfield is he gets traded. Now, when Haniger comes back, things could change, but God knows when that's going to be. Let's go.
Four surgeries after taking that foul ball off of his beanbag.
Oh, man, it still gives
four
me anxiety.
Four surgeries. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about we've talked about the Rangers one enough. That's on here where they're kind of talking about, you know, who's at first, like the old joke, and who's in the outfield. And, you know, I think Solak has the run for it, and Danny Santana is a super utility. So let's go to the NL, where it starts off with the Braves and the final rotation spot. And here, I think, is the battle. Felix Hernandez versus Sean Newcomb. And Boggs, I've said, I think Felix wins this one. And there's been some chatter that Felix has looked pretty good and he might have the inside track over Sean Newcomb right now.
This is weird because I'm looking at roster resource. They've got Newcomb and Hernandez in there. What about Kyle Wright just definitely going in?
No, because Hamels.
Okay, it's Hamels is hurt. You're right.
I completely
forgot
about that because he's not going to be cleared for a little bit. So, you know, he's not going to be ready for opening day.
They also have Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson, and Touki Toussaint. Like, and these guys are all on the 40-man.
Yeah.
I mean, Felix Hernandez is the only guy that's not on the 40-man. So,
Do you think one of those guys takes the job? Because I think Felix is going to be given the opportunity to start. Now, will he hold on to it into May? I don't know. But I think Newcomb and Hernandez will be in that rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have to give the veteran the benefit of the doubt here, but he was so terrible in Seattle. I just I have a hard time having confidence in him. So I'd rather give a spot to Kyle Wright and let him work it out. So.
This one has kind of presumably we've got some insight on it, but it's on here, so it's worth talking about. The Marlins, and where does center field get locked into? There was a time early in the offseason that it looked like Lewis Brinson was going to be finally given the full go. But just as of recent, we've been told that John Villar is going to be playing a lot of center. They've also got Magnieris Sierra is out there. And John Birdie is a player that he might be more suited to like their super utility role. You know, he can just move around because he can play a lot of positions. He's almost like a Danny Santana. He's a player that'll probably get full-time playing because he's going to play across a few spots. But do you think Lewis Brinson is legitimately an option to be out in that outfield whatsoever? Because right now they've got Corey Dickerson, Garrett Cooper in right, and John Villar in center. And I don't know, Garrett Cooper's not guaranteed anything. So do you think Brinson can knock anyone off?
I mean, I think there's a lot that's wide open in Miami, of course. You know, if Aguilar just can't hit, I could see somebody else playing first.
I think Garrett Cooper was once a first baseman, so he could go there.
Right. Maybe Cooper could go there. Maybe somebody else. But yeah, they have other options for center field, too. Like you mentioned, Sierra, if he has a good spring training, I could see him going there, especially if one of these middle infielders doesn't and they want to move VR at, you know, to short or third or second, wherever he can pretty much play anything at this point, probably except for you wouldn't want him at first. So I think that there's a lot that there's just too much going on with Miami to pick one battle and go after it.
Yeah,
because I think there's rotation spots open too.
Yeah, so. I mean, and they got like Miguel Rojas played pretty good. He's hitting like .800 for the team, but I mean, that's something VR could do if things weren't working out with him, and that reopens up that center field gig. And frankly, you know, if they weren't locked into Rojas and Brinson was really good in the in spring training and they wanted to play him, like he could just lock in that center field gig and VR is just their shortstop. So there are some questions. It's just around Brinson. When we come back, though, I think we're going to hit some of the bigger ones like Carter Kieboom. Carter Kieboom is a big one in the NL East to talk about as well. What are the Phillies going to do at second base? So don't go anywhere. Position battles in spring training right here and in this league on the Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league
is cooking.
We're back. It's In This League right here on the Sports Grid. Coming up in hour three, it's Bubba, KC Bubba, who you hear pretty much everywhere right now. And of course, you hear him every week in hour three with Bogman. You guys are going to be talking a little bit more about Greg Robinson and his 157 pounds. That's not his weight. He doesn't have a major weight loss. That is the amount of. Do you realize, like, he probably had more weed in his car for pound than his girlfriend would weigh. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever put something? My car has the seatbelt thing. Put, you know, a bag on the chair and it's like, hey, buckle the seatbelt. Imagine what the car's doing with that weed. It's like, hey, you got a full human in here that's not buckled. Get this set.
I think in my old truck, if someone less than 120 pounds was sitting in the passenger seat, I had to turn the airbag off because it's one of those, like, you know, if they sit too close, it could break their neck type of deal.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to turn off the airbag for that much weed.
No,
it would have been perfectly fine. Its neck would have not been broken.
It would have been very safe. So are you guys talking about some baseball too?
Yeah. We're talking way more baseball than football.
Okay.
But yeah.
Position battles in spring training, Nationals, Carter Kieboom. This is probably, if you were making like a top five list of actual important battles, I say this is probably at the top or in that top five for sure. It is who's going to get third base. They brought in Asdrubal Cabrera. Howie Kendrick is still on the team. Starlin Castro probably going to play second. But this one looks like it is Asdrubal Cabrera versus Carter Kieboom. Top prospect, got a little bit of time last year, has played second and shortstop. But he is vying for that spot right now. And I'm a believer Kieboom is going to seize it. And Asdrubal Cabrera can be a super utility guy, or they might cut bait on Cabrera, and Howie Kendrick can be their utility player going between first and third and second, and he can kind of play all over. I think he takes it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you on that one. And I've been drafting him and ranking him as such too. I mean, probably going to hit low in the order to start the year, but there's plenty of opportunity between 5 and 8 to move up. I mean, because I could see him hitting better than Castro, Thames, or Suzuki. So he can move up in that lineup too.
And I'm drafting him accordingly as well. There's some other ones we've kind of talked about and also that aren't relevant, like Phillies, who's going to play second base. I'd say it doesn't matter because Kingery and Segura are both, it's not going to be Didi is what we found out. Didi is going to be their shortstop. But it doesn't matter because they're both going to get playing time. Now, if Kingery were to win the second base job, I think it pushes Alec Baum further from playing, but if Segura were to win the second base job, if Kingery struggles, I think they'd go to Baum, so that's a weird one. Brewers, they have Arcia versus Luis Urias, but Urias is hurt, so it doesn't matter. We talked about the Cardinals gig, but how about this one, Boggs? Cubs, who's going to play second base? Ben Zobrist looks like he missed a lot of time last year of like a really nasty divorce, and it looks like he's gone. He's going to retire. The Cubs brought in Jason Kipnis. They've still got David Bote, Daniel Descalso's out there. Ian Happ looks like he's purely playing the outfield right now. So, Boggs, I mean, where are you going to go? Because Roster Resource currently has Jason Kipnis as their starting second baseman.
Yeah, I think that one probably makes the most sense right now. So that's probably where I'd go is with Kipnis. And, you know, I think the real answer midway through the year is probably Nico Hoerner. But to start the year, I would go with Kipnis.
Now, there's some other ones. So you've got, do you think this is a battle? They're talking about the hot, well, maybe it is. Maybe I haven't paid enough attention to it. Pittsburgh. They're talking about who's going to play third base in Pittsburgh right now. Currently, they've got Colin Moran there, but they've still, at least on here, they're talking about a little bit of dicey, what's his name? Young Ho Gong. Was, or I guess he was last year and he was released. Okay, so he's not. But they've got Eric Gonzalez, Jose Ozuna, who the team really likes. And they do have a top prospect, Key Brian Hayes. But I don't believe I'm not sure if Key Brian is on the 40 man or not. Oh, he is on? Okay, well, that could be an option if they don't like Colin Moran. They're kind of in a youth place right now. You know, they traded away Starling Marte to the Diamondbacks. Their starting lineup, there's a lot to be desired that they left on the table. I would say that Colin Moran has the inside for this, but I think Key Brian Hayes is a player that could come up mid-year this year because he's fast. He's a potential gold glove defender. He's really athletic. So he's a guy that could come in and play defense right now without big struggles. He's got big power, but he just hasn't tapped into it. So if he hits early, I think we could see Hayes by June.
Yeah, I would assume that Hayes gets the most at-bats, but I think to start the year, it's probably going to be a weird platoon between Moran and Gonzalez, you know, lefty versus righty. I mean, Moran's a lefty, so he'll get most of the starts, and Gonzalez is a righty, so he'll get the start against lefties, but I don't want any part of that situation. I think it's Hayes for most of the at-bats, but hopefully you don't get yourself stuck where you have to take. I mean, these are the things that we're looking at in our 16-man NL-only league. So hopefully you don't have to deal with that stuff.
That's a very good point. We've already talked about the Reds one. This is an obvious one that's pointed out here. But we kind of talked about it in the first hour of it looks like, you know, if Senzel gets traded, Aquino can be sent down. It looks like they were going to kind of solve it themselves. This is still an interesting one. This is our hometown one with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Or what are they going to do with all the starters? Now, Mike Leake got hurt, And what is his? I don't remember his status
It's his wrist. It's his wrist in his non-throwing hand. So I don't think they shut him down for a week or two.
Yeah, and he says he still hopes to be ready for opening day. Is what the so if that's the case here is the battle ish. The Diamondbacks, for whatever reason, are giving us the business that Zach Gallen does not have the fifth spot locked up, which I just don't believe in any universe right now.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's something to consider. The Diamondbacks might do something funky because they have Merrill Kelly still sitting out there. So they've got six guys for five spots. Plus, they've got John Duplantier, who John is still a dude. I get asked about him all the time. I don't know what the Diamondbacks are going to do with him, but I know they love him. He's come up in trade talks before, and the Diamondbacks never adhere to any of those because he's got an arsenal. He works off a command. He's a really smart pitcher. He's working out with all the big starters right now. He's working out with Luke Weaver the other day when I was there. I mean, he is going to be given all those opportunities. So do you think that... Do you think that the team would get weird with Gallen and give it to Merrill? Or do you think that maybe Leak could go by the wayside? They could trade Ray at some point. I mean, how do you think this rotation fits out? Or is it as simple as Bumgarner, Leak, Ray, Weaver, and Gallen, and you move on?
Yeah, I think it's that and you move on. It would have to be something along the lines of Gallen just having a horrific spring for someone else to go over him. So I think it's definitely Gallen's job to lose, and I don't really think twice about it.
Over on the Dodgers, there's a potential rotation question, at least. I think the big one resides around the fifth spot with Alex Wood. Is it Alex Wood? The team still has Ross Stripling. He did not get traded. And they've got Dustin May on the team. So this is actually a pretty big battle of who gets that five spot. If Alex Wood were to win the gig, they currently have Kershaw, Buehler, David Price, and Urias. They'd have four lefties. So even though Roster Resource lists Alex Wood, kind of think it's less likely. My money is on Dustin May getting the gig.
My money's on Alex Wood to start the year.
Four lefties they're going to have?
Yeah, I think Wood's the best pitcher. But I don't think that it really matters who wins this job because all three of those guys are going to get multiple starts. Like, it's going to be this obnoxious thing. First of all, we know if Alex Wood wins the job, dude's getting hurt at some point. Like, he just always does. So, or he's going to have his innings limited because they don't want him to get hurt. So I think Dustin May is going to make starts. And who's the other guy? It's Dustin May, Wood, and who else?
And Stripling.
And Stripling's going to get starts too. To be honest, Stripling's probably my favorite one to start the year in there. And then Alex Wood and then Dustin May. I think Dustin May winds up with the most starts here. But this is a situation that I don't think is just a spring training situation. I think it goes throughout the entire year between all three of these guys too.
All right. So then we've kind of talked about the Rockies and their battle for the left in left field, where it could be an Ian Desmond. There's Tapia.
Signed Puig.
Hilliard. No, yeah, Puig is out there. Maybe the last big one is San Diego. And even though we've kind of talked about it, is the roster resource, it seems like Pham is locked. Grisham is locked. There's Cordero, Lagares, Will Myers is still on the team, and then trading. I feel like we might have kind of, I think we've kind of answered all of those. So I think that might be.
I don't think Grisham's locked.
You don't think he's locked?
No, I don't think he is. I think they like him a lot, and they want him to play most days, but Roster Resource has him platooning, especially while Will Myers is still on this roster. I don't think Trent Grisham is a lock. So I think that's a weird rotation-y thing. Now, they still have all kinds of options, like you mentioned with Senzel, and you know there are rumors that they're still interested in Francisco Lindor and stuff too. So that could be a completely different situation in a couple weeks. But I think right now it's a big effing mess, and I don't want to deal with any of it.
Yeah, it is. Lots of spring training battles. You got to be careful. We don't want to read too much into any of all this stuff because things can get wonky, things can move around. While at the same time, though, realizing that, you know, playing time can be key. If they lock into a player, guys like Nick Solak in center field, unless they're really bad, they're probably not going to move off of it. So we will continue to watch these spring training battles. We'll tell you more and we'll watch for trades as they finish them. But this is the end of hour two. Hour three is coming up. Casey, Bubba, and the Bogman. You get to be the when I'm out of here. It's Bubba and the Bogman.
Pass it down to me. Thank you.
Yeah, like
so Bogman
and the Welsh. Okay. All right. If you guys want, you can, if you miss any of this, you can catch the podcast. Maybe you're listening on there and you just say, I don't need to do that because I'm already doing it. Good for you. This week, got a big week on ITL. Like I said, it's Hell Week. Lots and lots of episodes and ranks. Plus, Bogman and I, if you're following us on the Twitter or the Instagram, my handle is still the Welsh on Instagram. Bogman's is, you're the In This League one, right?
In This League. There that's right.
That's the one. You can follow us as we're going to be out at games. And, you know, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, all that cool stuff. So sharing info as we can. Hour two in the books. Hour three coming up. Bogman and Bubba, don't go anywhere. Right here on Sports Grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.